This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois. I'm co-host Randy Eccles. This week, we are featuring folks behind the scenes, maybe sometimes not so behind the scenes, on the staff of NPR Illinois. We have our managing editor, aka news director, Sean Crawford, join us. People hear you every afternoon just about. They hear you on State Week. They hear you on Statewide. You do a lot of things around the station.
I've worked in small market radio much of my life. I wouldn't call Springfield small market, but it's a step above that. We still are a small staff, and it requires all hands on deck, and that's why you hear me a lot. You'll hear many other people on the air doing a lot of different things.
Tell us a little bit about how you got here.
My radio story goes back to when I was before school. I was just probably 4 or 5 years old. Our local radio station, Heron, Illinois, WJPF, was just down the street from where I lived in Heron, okay. Illinois, southern Illinois. It's between Marion and Carbondale, that area right off I-57. The station, though, was a really good full-service AM station, as they called it back then. They would do a thing very localized where if you sent in a birthday, they would read it on the air. A lot of people sent their kids' birthdays especially, or spouses' birthdays in. And I remember hearing my name and being wished a happy birthday. It's the first recollection I have of radio, but it really stood out to me. It was something I decided I wanted to do, even though I had no training whatsoever through the years, just something I always gravitated to. So in high school, I went there and went in one day and just asked if there was a way to get a job there. And there was, but they had no openings at that time. They let me hang around for a few weeks and just learn things, bother people, ask a lot of questions. And then they had a position open part-time, and they said, would you be interested? Sure enough, that's how I got started doing it. And I did that my last year of high school, and then I did it for several years before I ever got to Springfield. And I've been here for many years as well.
You went to school for it then?
Yes, and then also went through the PAR program here in Springfield. That's not what drove me to Springfield. My wife and I was working up north in the south suburbs of Chicago, and then my wife took a job with the state, so we moved here. I worked in Jacksonville, WLDS radio, really good station, good folks there. Worked there for several months, but it wasn't full-time. It was sort of semi-full-time. And I decided, I think I'm going to go back to school, maybe try to get a master's degree, and I was thinking political science. I didn't know a whole lot about the PAR, Public Affairs Reporting Program, but I learned about it here, decided that, well, that's what I'm going to do. Started working at the station part-time just as I was going to school, pretty much have stuck around ever since. PAR, for those that don't know, is an internship program for graduate students. It places you in a working newsroom at the State House, and that's what I did. I worked for what was WUIS, NPR, Illinois. Worked there for a little while during my internship, a little bit beyond that, and then eventually was hired full-time.
Here at the NPR Illinois, what was then WUIS.
Right, and that was in the later 90s, so it's been quite a while, but I've been here, and I worked at the State House mostly full-time.
That's what you got hired for?
Mm-hmm. Did that. Bill Wheelhouse was there, myself. We came on about the same time. Worked there for several years. I was there till around 2011, working at least most of the time full-time, I guess I should say. But when Rich Bradley had retired in 2009, I wound up becoming the news director here. Still worked at the State House some. That eventually faded away more, and I watched it more from a distance. We had other people covering it, and I was working at the station, and that's what I've been doing mostly for the last 15 years or so.
It's nice to hear that somebody who became passionate at 4 is still doing it.
Yeah, and I remember a guy telling me when I first got into it, so if you can make it 5 years in radio, you've got it made. Well, I don't know what book he was reading necessarily. That is true. A lot of people get into it. It's fun in the beginning, but the hours are not great. The pay is usually not great. There's a lot of other things that go along with it. People get fired rather quickly sometimes in radio just because of format changes or poor ratings or whatever. I was lucky that that's not really happened to me, and I was able to stay in it for the most part, except for a couple of years I worked for a newspaper chain in northern Illinois. But other than that, it's been mostly radio all the way through. I've gone long beyond that 5 years. So.
And where'd you go to college for your undergrad?
Part of it, SIU, Carbondale, and then finished up here, actually, because I had moved up north to take a job. That was sort of the difference. But I bounced around a little bit with that, and then the master's degree here at UIS.
That master's degree program, the Public Affairs Reporting Program, has been such a great pipeline for NPR Illinois. A lot of staff members have come through that over the years. You've had a lot to do with training them since then.
we've had, you know, I'd have to go back and count, but most of the time I've worked here, we've had interns somehow working with us either most of the year or part of the year, whatever. These are students who mostly have gone to journalism school, graduated, or radio television degrees or something to that level. Not always, but a lot of times. Not seeing that as much nowadays because this is an industry that's very tough these days. I mean, the media industry has changed greatly in the last, say, 30 years or so. But we still get a lot of good people, young people coming into it who've decided this is what they want to do with their career. So hopefully we help them along with that and help them give real consideration if it is something they want to do. The Public Affairs Reporting Program is still one of the great programs, I think, of journalism here in the Midwest, and one that, of course, was created right here at UIS by Paul Simon, the former U.S. Senator, before he became a U.S. Senator, and it has continued beyond 50-plus years. So,
of course, State Week's Charlie Wheeler was a big part of it.
Charlie became the head of PAR in the early 90s. He left a long career at the State House Press Room working for the Chicago Sun-Times. He has been part of that show going way back, even when he was at the press room at the State House. And then after his retirement just a few years ago, he has remained on the show with us. And, you know, Charlie, I always say, has forgotten more about state government than he doesn't forget much that most people will ever know. And I think he is really viewed as sort of one of the most knowledgeable people about state government and the history of state government that you can find in Illinois.
That's one of the things I've loved about radio is the colleagues and people you get to work with, like Charlie and others, who are just amazing. You mentioned Rich Bradley. You also mentioned how it's been difficult these days to find new journalists. If you had advice for somebody who was maybe a little interested, what would you tell them?
You have to really have sort of that passion for it. You don't have to know what you're doing to start out in it. I mean, you learn like anything else. You're educated in it. And I think a lot of people think, oh, I've got to know so many things. Well, you learn as you go with it. But you have to have that passion of wanting to tell people stories, of wanting to uncover the truth about things. You can't be too timid. If you're a person that doesn't like to be, I shouldn't say nobody likes to be criticized, but if it really bothers you, it might not be the best place for you because you're just ripe for that all the time because you're going to anger some people who may be in power at times who are going to push back on you quite a bit on stories. So you have to be somebody that can handle that. But if it is something you want to do, if you feel it can make a difference and that's something you want to be part of, then I would, yeah, strongly consider it. But I know a lot of people who have left the business through the years. Again, family issues come along, maybe a need to take another job for some other reason, something else. But they always look back fondly to the time they spent in radio. Now, at the same time, they may also have that feeling of, though, I don't miss the late nights and I don't miss this and being called out at all different times. But they do have this nostalgia for the time they worked in it.
There are a couple of things I've learned about Sean over the years. One of those is you seem to like baseball.
Yes. Well, I like sports, especially of the era I grew up in, which I think most people are that way. They tend to like when you're like 12 years old, that's your sweet spot for sports. I have many a conversation with people online in person about somebody who was, the backup fullback for somebody in the NFL in the 1970s, or maybe some baseball player who was a utility infielder or something. I like the history of baseball. I think it goes so far back. If anybody's watched Ken Burns' documentary on it, I think you can kind of see the history really ties into what America has gone through. So I like that fact too. I like numbers. I like statistics and things. I grew up watching it all the time. I wasn't an only child, but my brother is about 10 years younger than me. So when I was a kid, I didn't have a lot of people to hang out with always. So sports was one of those things that I read the magazines, read the books and everything, and it just always stuck with me. It's not my only interest, but it is one of those things I still like to do.
So tell us another interest.
I've really grown into liking movies, especially classic films. I even went to the Turner Classic Film Festival a few years ago. That was something my wife decided we should do. Took a trip out to Hollywood for that, just to see it.
Did you hit the red carpet?
It wasn't going on then. I saw where that's at, but we did walk the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I really do like watching movies from the 40s, the classic films, the noirs, all of that. I'm always a fan of that stuff. And I like to garden too, except as the summer heat comes along. I'm getting older now to a point where I'm not so sure I like it as much at that point of the season. season. I get excited in the spring. I'm not as excited to go out and try to weed the garden in the middle of the summer, but those are my probably big things.
Were you gardening for food or for flowers?
Probably more for food, I guess. I like to plant vegetables and things. Sometimes that works out and sometimes it doesn't. It's frustrating at times, but I do plant flowers as well. My wife and I like to do that. We live sort of on the edge of town to a point where deer can be a problem. So, you know, half my time is planting something. The other half's trying to put something up to protect it. Those are things I like to do as well.
Those deer have a good appetite, don't they?
Right.
So you spent a lot of time Southern Illinois, Northern Illinois, and Springfield. What have you learned about Illinois over the years?
Let's be honest. I did not live in Chicago. Spent some time in it, in the city, but I didn't live there. I didn't work in the city. And most of the places I've lived, I would say they're not that different. What's going on in the Carbondale area of Southern Illinois is not that different from what Springfield's dealing with to what Joliet is dealing with. The thing I look at it and think to myself, we have a tendency to feel as though somebody from another place is really alien to what we know and what we think down here or whatever. And to me, I don't see that a lot. I think everybody's still trying to go to work every day. Everybody's still trying to get ahead the best they can, you know, provide for their family, do the things they like to do. Very similar wherever you go. Some cities and some areas, I think, have unique problems and unique solutions to problems as well. So I think we can all learn a lot from people if we just listen a little bit more.
Springfield itself has evolved in your time here. What have you seen just in Springfield?
Well, I think what I've seen in Springfield has been a commitment from a lot of good folks, what I'd call, you know, community-minded individuals. And I'm not talking government per se, and this is not a knock on anybody in government or has been in government, but it really is a lot of neighborhoods where you'll see people who feel strongly about their neighborhood, and they will really make efforts to try to improve that. They have a lot of ideas. Not all of them are going to get accomplished because, you know, just the resources aren't there every time. But I have seen a lot of improvement, I think, in the city of Springfield. I've also seen things that the downtown area is a classic example. When I first started and was working downtown at the State House, I always use this analogy. You go get a sandwich someplace for lunch and walk up there, and it was not uncommon to see people standing out the door for a sandwich because there were so many people there working, and they were, you know, all going to the same places. And it was like, okay, well, maybe today's not the day because I'm going to be here a half hour waiting. You don't see that near as much now, not as many state workers, especially downtown. And that doesn't mean that people don't frequent downtown or that businesses can't survive there. It's just a different environment than it once was. And I think that as a downtown goes, often is how goes a city. Springfield's got a lot of good things going for it, has a lot of things that I think are still challenges that it's trying to address.
And probably isn't alone from cities that are similar size those challenges.
In my hometown, we had really vibrant downtown when I was a kid. In fact, I used to say, well, you didn't have to leave town to get a suit, to get a dress, to get furniture, or, you know, appliances. And you kind of do now because those places don't exist. They were all locally run businesses. We had a shoe store, and I do remember one of the guys working the shoe store, he was able to have a whole middle-class lifestyle. You know, he was able to have a house and a car and raise his kids. You just don't see that. These jobs have changed. It was also a very big factory, very big industrial area. That is gone too. Thousands of jobs just gone because of that. Again, all of these towns have similar problems and similar challenges. There's still a lot of optimism out there, but there are some things that need to be addressed.
You've got a family. You mentioned your wife going to the Turner Classic. How has that been to raise a family here?
Good. My son was born here in Springfield, and he's now 26, so he's grown up. This is the only home he's ever known. It's been a good area. I think this, you know, good schools. I think it's worked out well in that respect. I like Springfield because it is midway from Chicago to St. Louis, or maybe a little closer to St. Louis. You still have all the ability to get to the things you might want to do in some of these larger communities, but you have still almost a feel of a small town atmosphere. I think Springfield feels like a bigger small town to me. Yeah, I mean, it's been great. Like I said, not saying it's perfect, has its issues that it needs to address. I think everybody will admit that. Sometimes people that don't go other places often are more critical of their home area until they go somewhere else and see that, hey, it wasn't so bad there after all.
As we wrap up, what are your hopes for the future?
Hopefully, you know, the station, I think, is on my mind a lot. I think it's on certainly on your mind as well. We're trying to, you know, go through some uncharted waters here with the station. The station has always raised money. It's always done that from listeners. That's been a big key part of the station for a long time, but it's becoming more important now. And for, you know, for the different reasons that, of course, we've all talked about before. And I would hope that this station continues well into the future. I think it serves a real purpose, as I do think really all the public radio stations do. I mentioned the station I grew up with, my hometown. That played a key role for me, and I think it played a key role for the community as well. You'd like to see that continue, and I think the same for NPR Illinois. So that's probably top of mind.
How about personally?
Personally, just getting through it, you know, I think is the thing. You know, it's like as I get a little bit older, it gets a little harder to move that rock up the hill sometimes. That's another thing where having students around can be helpful. They come in very enthusiastic, wide-eyed in many cases about things where you get a little more negative as you go along, and it's sometimes can help. It puts things more into perspective.
Fresh views.
Yeah, fresh views.
Thank you for joining us today. Any last thing you want to leave us with?
Hopefully people will help with the station and continue to support it. We do appreciate everybody that's done that in the many years it's been here, over 50 now, and hopefully 50 more.
Well, thank you for being a big part of those 50 years. Sean Crawford, our managing editor or news director here at NPR Illinois on Community Voices. Thank you.
Thank you.
Community Voices is happy to celebrate 5 years of helping us get to know our neighbors and shedding light on events we may have missed. Community Voices started in 2020 as a vision to respond to the pandemic and the need to get to talk with each other more. We've continued that for 5 years with a variety of tremendous guests coming in. Thanks for being part of the first 5 years of Community Voices.